kids are not in school this week. A number of state and federal offices are closed, so it certainly is impacting the community.
They remind me a little bit of Hillary. Yeah. No energy, no stamina, no strength.
I'm going to let him live in his alternative reality, and I'm not going to respond.
Welcome back to the opening bell, 5:35 this morning. Thanks again for joining us, waking up with us this morning. We're talking about the business of your life, and today the business of space. It has been an exciting year in the past year for space enthusiasts, mainly because of the private race to get people off the planet and into outer space. And Elon Musk is leading that charge with SpaceX, and he really made history last month with his Falcon 9 rocket.
I think we're at the dawn of a new era, and it's I think it's going to be very exciting. What we're hoping to do with SpaceX is to push the envelope.
That is that first stage coming back down to land and kicking up.
I think we'll probably put our first man in space in about 3 years. We're going all the way to Mars, I think. Best case, 10 years. Worst case, 15 to 20 years. I think it's important that humanity become a multi-planet species. I think most people would agree that a future where we are a space-faring civilization is inspiring and exciting compared with one where we are forever confined to Earth until some eventual extinction event.
Well, we're going to have a conversation about this now with Nancy Atkinson. She is currently Universe Today's contributing editor. You can find Universe Today online, and Nancy Atkinson is with us live this morning. Nancy, good morning. Are you awake?
I am here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being with us. You heard Elon Musk there, and I don't know about you, but when he landed this Falcon 9 rocket, took it into space, dropped off some satellites, and brought it back, I was glued to the television, and I just thought, we're watching history here. How big of a deal was that?
I think it was pretty big deal. It's it's the first time it's been done with this type of rocket, a rocket that's able to go to orbit, and it's hopefully we're kind of on the verge of space flight. The price of bringing things to space coming down just a little bit.
Well, and that is why we wanted you on today to talk about sort of the money involved in this. How much is involved? What are the stakes here in terms of the money that companies could make and also the cost of getting things to space? I know Elon Musk wants to go to Mars, but it seems like it's going to be an expensive proposition.
Right. Right now, if you are a space agency like NASA, it costs about $10,000 per pound to send something to space. The Falcon 9 launch costs are significantly lower at about $2,500 per pound. And Musk has said that he would like to reduce the cost to about $1,000 a pound. So right now, SpaceX, lists on their website what it costs for them to launch a satellite for you. It would cost about $60 million for them to, that you'd have to pay to launch something like a satellite into orbit. And they're hoping that they can really, and that's significantly lower than what it costs for NASA to do that. And that's, it's part of the private market and commercial space and trying to get that access to space to come down. And the kind of the unknown now is with SpaceX being able to reuse their first stage, and they could save a significant amount of money. But also, the cost for refurbishing the first stage is kind of an unknown at this point because it really hasn't been done yet. They have to look at what the estimates are for the repairs, and if they aren't very extensive, that maybe they could get that cost down to about $500,000 for just that first stage. So it's a pretty significant savings if it ends working out that way. At first glance, it looks like the first stage is actually in pretty good shape.
Yeah, Elon put on Instagram day before yesterday maybe a photograph of it, and it there's maybe like a little scuff on it, but it looks like it's never been to space, and he says it's
right,
ready to go
yeah.
again.
Right, yeah. But, you know, do remember that the reusable design of the space shuttle was meant to save money, but, you know, that ended up not being the case as refurbishment ended up costing a lot more than was expected, and it took more time. But shuttle launches cost between $500 million and over $1 billion each. But you, also, the Falcon 9 is not as complicated as the shuttle, and the first stage is not going to have the stress put on it that the shuttle did. As you know, the shuttle went all the way to orbit and had to endure the stresses of reentry through Earth's atmosphere. So, you know, SpaceX, the first stage is just coming from about 60 miles up, so it doesn't have all those stresses that the space shuttle did.
This is a big business, obviously, and a lot of these companies have been, you know, paying other places. We're also paying Russia a lot of money to send our astronauts up to the space station. Give our listeners an idea of just how much money is involved here in terms of like a company like SpaceX or, you know, Orbital or one of the others. How much can they make in this area?
Well, the global space industry is estimated to be worth about $300 billion annually. You know, and it comes in all sorts of things, you know, and it's kind of woven into our lives. You know, I hear you guys just gave a weather report. So you're probably looking at satellite weather information. If you watch satellite TV or if you use navigation on your smartphone, you know, you're using space technology every day. You know, it's a big industry. In just the U.S., I think it was $74 billion. And so that's kind of spread out between the space companies. And NASA actually gets just a small portion of that at about $17 billion a year.
I remember, you know, I'm a child of Apollo, as you probably are as well, just fascinated by Apollo launches and then the space shuttle. I watch all of the launches that go up, and I've had the pleasure of actually seeing the space shuttle go up. It's one of those things that, you know, the people who are not into this always would ask me and say to me, well, what are my tax dollars being used to, you know, to fund NASA? And I always tell them there's a book you can go online to NASA.gov and find, and it's all of the stuff that's been invented and designed for space travel that we use now every day. That book is getting pretty thick, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's pretty interesting, the things that we don't think about every day that is just part of our lives. And the thing that's, you know, kind of important to remember is that, you know, NASA doesn't just stuff, you know, $1 billion into a rocket and blast it off into space. All of that money is spent down here on Earth. People have jobs, you know, in the launch industry. There's all the things that are being created, you know, being built. You know, nanosatellites and future asteroid miners and 3D printers and all of those kind of things that are part of our lives here on Earth. And so it's like I said, it's the money just isn't blasted off into space. It's spent and invested down here on Earth.
And in the heyday of the space shuttle and back when NASA had before they contracted out to private companies, I think was it a nickel per person per month? Is that what we paid in tax dollars for NASA?
A lot of people have a kind of a misconception of how much money NASA gets as part of our federal budget. Right now, NASA only gets half a cent on the dollar of our complete, you know, U.S. budget. So it's a very small amount. And there are a few proponents who say if NASA could just get a penny out of the dollar, you know, that they could do so much more.
Yeah, and you compare that to how much money we spend on defense and black projects and all of that other stuff. Do you think if that money scenario had turned the other way that we would be further along with space exploration? I know Elon Musk has said many times he's disappointed we're not further along. I think a lot of us are disappointed we're not further along. Is money holding us back?
Oh, I think definitely. I mean, if NASA had was getting the money that it got back in the Apollo days, I think we could, you know, definitely be farther along. Whether we would be on Mars at this point or not is kind of speculative because there's there are some problems with getting to Mars and living on Mars just because of the harsh environment. And there's one kind of aspect that people don't really think about too often is that it's really hard to land really large payloads on Mars because the atmosphere is just thick enough that, you know, it causes a problem. You can't land big things like we landed on the moon with Apollo using thrusters only. And but the atmosphere is thin enough that we can't land with parachutes and that kind of thing like we do on Earth. So there are some significant hurdles to overcome to be able to land humans on Mars. But you know, there's definitely a lot of places to explore out there.
We're talking with Nancy Atkinson, the current Universe Today contributing editor.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:49. Good morning, and thanks for being back with us on the market futures this hour. The Dow Jones Industrials Dow average showing lower, off about 104 points, 16,982. S&P futures also showing lower, about 12. Overseas last night, the Nikkei off 77, the Hang Seng off 138. The Shanghai off 8, so a little less turmoil than the night before. Today is January 5th, 2016. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. And Bob Ness is here with some other birthdays.
Bradley Cooper, currently in the drama Joy, now in theaters, is returning to the big, fun box office smash that he first contributed to a couple of summers ago. Cooper leads our birthday roundup today, and he's back for Guardians of the Galaxy 2 as Rocket Raccoon.
I live for the simple things. Like how much this is going to hurt.
It'll be out in 2017. Cooper's 41 today. Diane Keaton's lending her voice to an animated character as well. She's in Finding Dory, the sequel to the Pixar movie Finding Nemo. She joked about it with Ellen DeGeneres, who gets to play the lead role.
You're a fish, though, right?
Yes, and you're a fish. The whole
I play the fish, too.
Have you seen the first one?
What's it called?
Yeah.
Finding Dory's out this summer. Keaton's 70 today. And one of her co-stars from the famous Godfather film series, Robert Duvall, celebrates a birthday today, too.
There's more money potential in narcotics than anything else we're looking at. If we don't get into it, somebody else will.
That's Duvall as Corleone family lawyer and adopted son Tom Hagen. He's working on a movie directed by James Franco right now, In Dubious Battles, based on the John Steinbeck novel about the farm workers' labor movement in California during the 1930s. Robert Duvall's 85 today, and those are the birthdays in arts and entertainment for Tuesday, January 5th, 2016. I'm Bob Kessler from Rivet Radio and WGN.
All right, Bob, thanks. On the news calendar today, a couple of big events. Of course, the Consumer Electronics Show continues out in Las Vegas. We also expect an announcement from President Obama later this morning. Somewhere around 10:40 Central Time, he's going to announce some executive orders on guns. And also today, there will be an update on auto sales. Automakers will release vehicle sales for December. Chrysler releases its sales numbers at around 7 o'clock Central Time this morning. GM and Ford between 8 and 9 Central Time. Later in the morning, there will be a couple of other reports as well. And some reports, too, about kids and smoking coming out later today. An embargoed report that's going to be released at about noon Central Time. This is The Opening Bell on WGN 720. We're rejoined again by Nancy Atkinson, who is one of the contributing editors at Universe Today. Nancy, I love Universe Today, and you guys do such a wonderful job of reporting where some people are not doing that now. And one of the things that people can do is they can is actually subscribe via Patreon, and you can pay, you know, $9 a month and help fund you and some of the other folks. If you guys weren't doing this kind of reporting, who would be doing this reporting?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, it's Universe Today has been around since 1999, so it's one of the longest running websites that's just dedicated to space and astronomy news. So, that's a good question. I guess I don't know. You know, it's not getting covered on kind of the mainstream media a lot. But of course, with all the online access now, it's kind of like people can follow along a lot closer than what they could in the past because, you know, NASA is really taking advantage of social media. They're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and they're, you know, they've got some of the biggest followings around, and so it's a lot easier for people to to follow what's going on, because NASA is kind of sharing things a lot of times in real time. They'll tweet out pictures like from the New Horizons spacecraft that flew by Pluto this past summer, and that kind of thing. And even the public is encouraged to pose questions during press conferences, you know, via social media. So it's I've seen in my career just you know, things kind of going from access being to journalists only to now this kind of wide open, you know, like I said, where the public is encouraged to ask questions directly to NASA.
And that brings up a question with the privatization of all of this. I know SpaceX has been pretty good, and so has Orbital. Some of the others have been as well, with, you know, letting us watch things that go on. But there is a certain level of privacy that these companies have that NASA didn't have. How does that affect our understanding and continuing, you know, oversight of these companies?
Well, there are some, you know, federal regulations and that kind of thing that these companies have to follow. But as you said, they don't have to have the transparency that NASA does because of, you know, it not being a public company. So it's a little different for people who are used to, you know, being able to look behind the scenes and look into every launch report and all this kind of thing, you know, if you're interested in that kind of thing. But otherwise, it's, you know, they are private companies. They can, you know, do their business as they see fit. So I think it's good because of how it's bringing down launch costs, and the competition is always good in that kind of area.
So what are you, what's your prediction for 2016? What's going to be the big space story this year?
Oh, let's see. I think we will see more from SpaceX and Orbital and other companies like that, trying to refine. You know, both of those companies have landed a first stage back after, you know, sending and after launching something. Orbital didn't quite go to orbit, but they their spacecraft did come back and land successfully. And otherwise, as far as things going on with NASA, there's a spacecraft that's going to be coming to Jupiter in, I believe it's in July. And we're going to keep getting more images back from the Pluto mission, New Horizons. They flew by last July, but they're kind of slowly sending back all the pictures that they took because of how far it is from Pluto to kind of send all this data back. And they had kind of a smaller spacecraft that can only send back a little bit at a time.
You know,
and let's see.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, and all of those things are, you know, if you try, I can't put a price tag on any of that. It's all priceless. I mean, to see this and to get us off our planet someday, you really can't put a price tag on any of that, at least in my mind. That's my opinion. Nancy Atkinson, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say it's priceless. I mean, you can't put a price tag, right?
No, really. I mean, previously, before all these robotic missions, we could only dream about what these places look like. And now, daily, we get images, real pictures back from our spacecraft that are out exploring the cosmos.
Nancy Atkinson, Universe Today. You can find Nancy on Twitter @Nancy_A, and you can follow Universe Today at universetoday.com. Nancy, thanks for being with us on The Opening Bell.